think of the countless persons who have preceded us, heavenly glory. They have left us the inspiring example of their holy lives and a treasury of their writings. And that treasury of the church's great writings fills literally a library. Again, we continue by way of introduction. The variety of their approaches to God has given the church what we call different spiritualities. We are not in different personalities. We are different, coin a word, we are different spiritualities. No two of us are the same. All are at once in the Spirit, guided by the Spirit of God, who guided them during their stay on earth. A famous statement of Saint Basil says, Basil, the Spirit is truly the dwelling place of the saints, and the saints are for the Spirit his proper dwelling place. Since the saint offered the glory of God, it is called his temple. That's what we are to be God. But we are to be for God. Before God. We are to be temples of the Holy Spirit. Now we get to the essence of what is prayer. We begin by asking ourselves, following the catechism synthesized, and I should say done on orders of the Holy See. Our first question, what is the first place for education in prayer? This may sound strange. Mother Church tells us it is the Christian family. For young children especially, daily family prayer is their first experience of the church being brought up by the Holy Spirit. This family can be very small. In my case, just my widowed mother and I. I know she taught me how to kneel before I could walk. I cannot exaggerate the importance before yourselves and through you to others. Only God knows how many authentic, honest-to-God Catholics are still left in America. And how young or old you may be, not just your own physical offspring, but the children of others, I cannot recommend too highly the apostolate of teaching children. And this apostolate should be undertaken first and obviously by parents raising young children, but also with emphasis includes the children of others, You have had your experience, to share that experience with the children of other people. The children of other people. And living in a country where most the employed, paid, salary provided Americans are women. Having studied Marxism from the age of 14, Marxism has brought into the world women removed from their homes, placed in all kinds and they believe effective and prominent places. Whatever we can do, just a short paragraph, whatever we can do to restore women to the rightful place in the home, we should do it. Then we ask, what is the first place for education in prayer? You implied it before, repeat it now. It is the Christian family. For young children especially, daily family prayer is their first experience of the church being brought up by the Holy Spirit. And there is no substitute for this. Working mothers, women in business, women in all kinds of positions, influencing the society which they live. Most of the publicity given to people in America today, most of it is given to women. God bless them. But the secret is do not remove women from the home. It is the Christian family from the child's tenderest years that learns how to pray. Now the next question. What is the responsibility of ordained ministers of the church? We did not use the word ministers, but we do now. The ordained clergy. They are ordained, hear it, precisely to guide the people of God to the living sources of prayer. Over the years in teaching priests and priests-to-be, I've told them, spend whatever spare time you have or spare time you can create in prayer. Spend some time. I've taught all the priests I've had in class, spend as much time as you can, as much time as you can in the church. If it's cold, put on a coat. Let people see the clergy in church. That's where they belong. And I repeat, our main responsibility as bishops, priests, and religious is to pray. That's what Jesus Christ mainly did. We can safely say Christ spent most of his time, of his 33-some years on earth, in, shall we call it, formal prayer. And prayer is communication of the human mind with the mind of God, and the human will with the will of God. We go on. What a question. What is the responsibility of religious? The United States, that term, I am sad to report, that term has all but disappeared. In less than 10 years, we've lost, wiped out some 90,000 religious women. In Detroit, where I live, I have a residence in town, have an office some distance out of town, but in what is called my office, it used to be the place where some 400 sisters taught grammar school. Every single room of that grammar school is locked. The nuns walked out, deceived as they were by priests who themselves had lost the faith. We need religious badly, desperately. And the only way to get religious vocations is from families that pray. Over the years, I've been taught by religious women in grammar school, religious men in high school, religious men in college and university. I would not be here except for the religious, in God's mercy, have trained this sinner. Pray for vocations. Vocations to the religious life. They are needed desperately. We ask, therefore, what is the special responsibility of those whom we call religious? Their consecrated life can be maintained or even propagated without prayer. I know exactly, precisely, what happened to thousands of religious men and women in our country. They became so involved in so many other things, they gave up the habit of praying. whatever else the religion should be, he should be a man or a woman of prayer. I've told you I wasn't boasting, just stating a fact. My average each day is 3 hours in prayer. The prayer of religious is one of the living sources of contemplation and also the spiritual life in the church. Religious communities here go back to the first century of Christianity. We continue asking questions. What is, strange word, the catechesis in prayer? What is it? The church answers. Is an essential part of the catechetical instruction of children, of young people and adults. I hope this will make a difference after the retreat. We must continue being trained in what you're calling the catechesis of prayer. Instruction in prayer is needed by everyone, beginning with this over-educated priest. Children, the young and adults must continue being taught in the means of prayer. They should be taught the meaning and the practice of personal prayer. Just I myself communicating with God. We should all have memorized certain prayers. I won't do it, but I would like to administer an hour's quiz on what forms of prayer you know by heart. Let me just casually, no answers out loud. How many of you know the Memorare by heart? How many of you know the Apostles' Creed by heart? How many of you know the Hail Holy Queen, the Salve Regina, by heart? How many of you know the Angelus, to be said 3 times a day by heart? How many of you know the morning offering by heart? How many of you know the prayer of the Holy Spirit by heart? How many of you know the prayer to Saint Anthony by heart? So I could go down. I'm going to ask 50, 100 questions. Americans have been trained memorize, you name it, what. But sadly, I trust not many of you, but sadly, many Catholics do not know the basic forms of prayer that should be memorized. The next question. What is the significance of prayer books? First of all, the Church tells us prayer groups as such are a sign of the renewal of prayer in the Catholic Church. It is also the evidence of the need for communion in prayer. Praying with others, they with us, we with them. However, how wise of the Church. These prayer groups must be, not just should be, must be nourished on the authentic sources of Christian prayer. I dare say I never counted them, but I suspect that most of the books on religion, most of them, are books for people who want to form and foster what we call a prayer group. And now, I could talk for hours on the variety, the diversity of these prayer groups. I would like to have some questions on the prayer groups presented in our question period. Because not a few of these groups, organized by religious and priests, have left the priesthood or the religious life. Some of them, I repeat, are wild and in spite of their wildness they are highly publicized. Now a most important question happens to be in my volume here, question 1177. The question reads, what is the role of spiritual direction in prayer? Oh, we need this. The answer, spiritual directors are to be persons gifted in faith, wisdom, and discernment of spirits for the common good. The first qualification, therefore, is to be specially gifted in faith, in wisdom, and in discernment of spirits. There are, only God knows, thousands of these so-called spiritual directors traveling from one country to another, in the United States, from one city to another. They must be men and women of deep, simple faith, of great wisdom, and of discernment of spirits. And one more qualification. They should be experienced in the spiritual life. As a priest, I am familiar with many of these so-called spiritual directors. They now have priests who are directed by the laity. We have men directed by women. We have members of the hierarchy directed by the laity. This experience of the spiritual life is indispensable. And the experience need not have been extraordinary in the sense of having experienced some mystical phenomenon. The experience should be down-to-earth, practical, realistic. Now, persons now then go regularly. Persons now who go regularly to their spiritual director. I repeat, some spiritual direction is praiseworthy. But that spiritual direction had better be direction which had first been received from the church. In so many cases, the spiritual direction is being given by those who have had some unusual experience. And the more unusual it has been, the more phenomenal they claim, the better. This spiritual direction is, I want to be clear, is valuable, but I want to add, is not strictly necessary. One reason we make retreats is to benefit from retreat directors who have the experience themselves, both the spiritual experience and the experience of dealing with souls. Hear it, the great Teresa of Avila was very selective in whom she chose for herself and for her sisters to be spiritual directors. Spiritual direction has become a phenomenon and one of the almost prescribed conditions for qualifying for giving spiritual direction is the person has been trained through years of study, years of analysis, on the spiritual life. In some cases, this can be useful. In many cases, I well know it can be misleading. There are more people now, I've never counted them, but I believe there are more people now who have had training, years of training in what we call the science of the spiritual life than ever before in the history of the church. Be careful, be watchful who you take or accept direction from. And the reason is because just since a person knows the vocabulary of spiritual direction, believe me, is no proof that person understands the spiritual life. What are some practical guidelines for mental prayer? Very important. We should have a definite time for mental prayer. This question is basic to the retreat. All of us should have a definite time for prayer. And if nothing interferes with that time, secondly, have a definite duration, length of time when you formally pray. 50 minutes, half hour, an hour, whatever time will be, and of course, it should be a definite time of the day. We continue. We cannot always meditate, but we can always engage in mental prayer. What is mental prayer for our purpose here? In the time I set aside each day to concentrate on thinking about God. This, I would submit, is the single most important recommendation I'm giving you during this retreat. Have time for prayer, a definite time, when you don't do anything else. Now notice, you may not always be able to meditate, think theologically, some truth of our faith, but you can always engage in mental prayer. Illustrate. We should all have a definite schedule for each day. Time when we get up, time we do certain things, and we don't do other things, there should be a definite time and period for a repeat mental prayer. And what is mental prayer? In plain English, it is simply opening our hearts to God, allowing Him to speak to us. The more busy we are with so many things, the more you must, I must, devote a certain time each day to mental prayer. The value of this mental prayer is priceless. Seven brief answers, which I hope to finish in this meditation. The question reads, what are some synonyms for mental prayer? The synonyms are priceless. First, mental prayer is the most simple expression of the mystery of prayer. The first thing, the main thing that we do when we engage in mental prayer is to place our minds in contact with God. But we've got to do it. We pick up all kinds of books, newspapers, you name it. There are in the United States daily printed millions of words. We must choose selectively among these things which have been written or published, what will keep my mind on God. Secondly, mental prayer is the most powerful time of prayer. When I pray mentally, my will tells my mind, think about God. Which, needless to say, is not what most people are doing most of the time. Thirdly, mental prayer is contemplation, which eyes of faith fixed on Jesus. In the words of the very simple Kyrie of ours, he says, I look at him and he looks at me. And that is why I mean this, the most precious time of any given day is the time we spend before the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus Christ is here. Faith tells us he is here just as really and truly as he is in heaven. What does mental prayer do? Well, a prayer listens to the Word of God. It shares mysteriously. It shares with the Word of God in saying yes, the yes of Christ to His Father, and the fiat of Our Lady to God's will. Cultivate the habit of saying yes to God every day. You better know who is speaking. Metal prayer, strange word. Metal prayer is silence and the symbol of the world to come. There are no speeches. There's only giving that feeds the fire of love. As if a God, this would be a totally empty building. We only have been past tense made by God. We exist only because God, His love, keeps us in existence. And we are to express our love for Him, and I mean this constantly, especially when things go hard. We have two more. Mental prayer is a prayer of union with Christ insofar as it enables us to share in His mystery. I see far more than the words may imply. What? Tell me, what in this world do we understand? Fully understand? The answer is nothing. Everything in this world partakes of mystery. And mental prayer is that form of communication with God about things we do not grasp. But the communicating with God, we grow. We shall keep going for all eternity in a clearer and deeper understanding of everything. That's why heaven is eternal. Finally, mental prayer is a communion of love, sustaining the life of the world. Unless there are people who love, the world would long ago have been destroyed. But this mental prayer as a communion of love is effective only in the measure you're willing to remain in the darkness of faith. And the more intelligent we are, the more gifted we are. I know I've dealt with too many intelligent people. We ought to know when to stop asking questions of God. We ought to let go. Lord, I don't get it, I don't grasp it, but I believe you. Oh, how important this is, especially for a life of prayer. When we pray, we are talking with God about things that only He comprehends. We beg, we plead to more clearly and deeply understand why we shall never, the average never, fully grasp none of what we believe. That humility is at the heart of our faith. Lord Jesus, we beg you, teach us the meaning of mental prayer. We ought to pray it deep with our minds, but our wills are also deeply involved. We pray with our minds, being sure we are speaking to a real God. But we also speak to God with our wills. Wills hungry, sorrowing for Him. Lord Jesus, teach us the most important lesson we have to learn in life. That there is nothing on earth we can fully comprehend. We leave that in your hands. Allow you to enlighten us as you will. And in the meantime, to keep us very, very humble. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.